20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Wednesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL and the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Sincerely, thank you so much, as always, for joining me. Always appreciate you guys a ton. If you have a second, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, and give those five-star reviews. We always appreciate that as well. We've got a fun one today. There are going to be some numbers, but what we're going to be ultimately taking a look at is what to expect from this draft class for Green Bay with no first-round pick. You know that Green Bay needs a defensive tackle. You know that they'd like probably another cornerback to bring in some competition. What can we expect from those two positions? Can they get legitimate help in the draft? We're going to be looking at past drafts today to help us predict what Green Bay might be able to get in the draft at those two positions specifically. We'll get there in just a moment. Before we do get there, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Mr. Good Looking Green and Richard Pearsall. Thank you guys so much for signing up. Also, I do have a correction to make. Thankfully, and now I'm just cursing myself and jinxing myself by saying this, but thankfully I don't have to do this all that often. But the other day on the episode where I was talking about free agents to still potentially sign for Green Bay, I brought up some guards that Green Bay could potentially bring in to compete with Anthony Belton. And I brought up Chris Paul, the Washington Commanders guard, as one of those guards that they could potentially bring in. He is off the market. The Commanders did in fact re-sign him. So that's on me. I don't know what site I was looking at when I saw that he was still a free agent, but it was clearly wrong. I should have double checked it. So my apologies on that. Chris Paul, not actually available, back with the Commanders. There are still some other guards. Wyatt Teller did sign on Tuesday, so he's gone as well. But Betonio Zeitler is still out there, and the majority of that list is still out there as well. So if you haven't checked out that episode yet, make sure to do so. Just know I was wrong about the Chris Paul portion of that episode. If you are a Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member, we do have the ESPN March Madness Bracket Challenge out there for all the members. It is out on the posts site of the Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube channel. And if you are a member, you can go out and see that post and click on the link and you have access to it and you can sign up. The winner is going to get a $100 gift card to the Packers Pro Shop. You get to compete against myself and a bunch of other people on the podcast as well. So go out there, make sure to sign up. Again, available for any Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, whether you're a Hall of Famer or a Pro Bowler or an All Pro or a starter, anything else, you are available to get that. So check that out. And again, great time to become a member if you have not already. We will be having happy hour today at 3 p.m. Central Time. Usually it's on Friday, but because I'm getting the new backdrop behind me, if you guys haven't heard that yet, yes, new backdrop is coming, hoping that it's done early next week. But because of that, I will not be able to do happy hour on Friday. Also, I've got a soccer tournament in Illinois to drive my son to, so I will not be here happy hour on Friday. So we're doing it today, Wednesday, 3 p.m. Central Time. Hope to see you guys there. If you haven't recognized already, Ross Uglum is back. You can find him on the audio channel as well as on the video channel. We're doing some members-only episodes yesterday and today, but we had Mock Draft Monday on Monday, and the Daily Draft is back, and we'll be kicking up very, very shortly here with some prospect breakdowns. From a Packers news standpoint, Bob Harlan's name is going on the facade at Lambeau Field. Absolutely love that. More than deserved. Beyond more than deserved. So excited that Bob Harlan's name is going up there. I'm assuming I'll be at that game and I'll be celebrating with the rest of you guys. That is a very cool honor. I wish it could have been done, before he passed away, because he was deserving of it before passing away, but it's still an amazing honor and awesome for his family that his name's going to be put up there. Meanwhile, the big NFL news for the day, Jaylen Waddle goes from Miami. He gets traded away. That's an interesting move for Miami. First of all, because they have a complete teardown going on at the moment. That's probably the way that you would do it if you are starting up a new or taking over a franchise and it was just in no man's land. John Eric Sullivan's probably doing the right thing. Meanwhile, Denver trades for Jaylen Waddle. They'd been completely radio silent for the most part. We just talked about that the other day with Justice and on my, biggest winners and losers of free agency episode a couple of days ago. But Denver gets involved in a serious way with Jaylen Waddle. I think it's good value for Miami, honestly. But they're completely tearing that thing down. Malik Willis, not exactly going to have a ton to work with that roster. But if anyone can maybe make it happen, hopefully it is Malik Willis in Miami. All right, that brings us to our main topic for today. As you guys know, Green Bay has picks 52, 84, and 120. Those are their round 2, 3, and 4 picks. I'm not going past that because, again, who knows what's going to happen at that point in time. Anytime you get 5th through 7th round, everything really becomes a crazy crapshoot. It already is in rounds 2, 3, and 4. But I wanted to take a look at those first 3 draft picks. Again, pick 52, pick 84, and pick 120. As I talked about, Green Bay has needs, specifically on the interior defensive line. That is a position that still is very much in flux and very much needs an influx of talent. And there's not much left in free agency. DJ Reader and Daquan Jones, at least as I'm recording this right now, are still on the market. There's not a whole heck of a lot else out there. Calais Campbell as a interior defensive lineman, not a nose tackle, but an interior defensive lineman. Sure, maybe they could trade for Harrison Phillips. But overall, there's, you know, getting slimmer and slimmer pickings by the day by what you want to do to upgrade that position. And so everyone's sort of been looking at the draft. And at corner, yeah, they brought in Benjamin St. Juice. They let go of Nate Hobbs. Rasul Douglas is still out there. Cam Taylor Britt's still out there. There's a couple things, but for the most part, that corner market also picked over. So if you're looking at a new talented piece in the cornerback room, somebody that can come in and potentially be a starter or challenge for a starting spot, you're probably looking at the draft. So what I wanted to look at today is those two positions specifically, picks 52, 84, and 120. Can Green Bay expect to get help at nose tackle, interior defensive lineman, and corner by selecting with those 3 selections? And it's a really interesting breakdown. And I'll just start by saying, I wouldn't hold your breath too much if you're hoping for a big time impact in year 1 at defensive tackle or corner at any of those picks. Not the be all end all. It's not to say that it can't happen, but yeah, you're about to see. We're going to go over it in great detail from a variety of different views. So buckle in. The first thing, we get some good news right off the bat. Pick number 52. Over the last 5 years, here are the players who have been taken at pick 52. Olufemi Oladejo, he did not do much for Tennessee last year. Adonai Mitchell, didn't work out in Indy, but was certainly a very talented player. Zach Charbonnet, very good running back for the Seattle Seahawks. George Pickens, didn't work out in Pittsburgh, but a very talented wide receiver. And then Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, who is a fantastic linebacker, but unfortunately suffered the neck injury. So a little bit of good news, bad news here. Oladejo did not do much. Adonai Mitchell is no longer on his team. Pickens is no longer on his team. JOK probably had a career-ending injury. Charbonnet is the now starting running back for the Seattle Seahawks, who just won the Super Bowl. But a little bit of, you know, maybe bad luck at the position, but talented players. All right. The last 5 players picked at pick 84, Jacob Parrish, a corner who did really well 2 seasons ago as a rookie. Last year as a rookie, I should say. Roman Wilson, wide receiver. Devon Achane. I've seen some news of like, hey, Green Bay should trade for Devon Achane. Well, guess what? He was picked at pick 84. That worked out. Hopefully that can work out for Green Bay at pick 84. DeMarvin Leal, who did not do much as an interior defensive lineman. And then Chauncey Golston, a edge rusher, Dallas Cowboy, New York Giant. His career has been okay, replacement sort of player, nothing more than that. Pick 120, last 5 picks at pick 120. Gunnar Helm, tight end, had an okay year this past year. Jalen Wright, another running back for the Miami Dolphins. Carter Warren, Brandon Smith, not doing much for either of those guys. Ramondre Stevenson has had a pretty nice career at running back for the New England Patriots. So those have been the last 5 picks at each of those spots. So, you know, some good stuff, some not so great stuff at pick 52, getting a George Pickens or a JOK type player at that spot. Zach Charbonnet, you certainly wouldn't be too upset by that. Pick 84, getting a Jacob Parrish, who had a really nice year at corner a season ago. Devon Achane, something like that. You certainly would not be upset there. Pick 120 has been a little bit less impressive. Ramondre Stevenson, Jalen Wright have been good as running backs. But again, a little bit of hit, a little bit of miss. At pick 52, over those last 5 seasons, Oladejo played 241 snaps as a rookie. These are all their rookie years, by the way. Oladejo played 241 snaps at a 48.2 PFF grade as a rookie. Adonai Mitchell played 383 snaps with a 57.9 PFF grade. Charbonnet, 475 snaps at a 69.8 PFF grade. Pickens had 882 snaps with a 68.8 grade. And JOK played 597 snaps with a 76.5 PFF grade. So just last 5 years, pick 52, your average of those 5 players was 516 snaps with a 64.2 PFF grade. That's a good, solid player. On average, that is a good, solid year 1 player who can come and help you out. That's a good sign. That's overall a good sign. The best case was JOK at 597 snaps and a 76.5 PFF grade. The worst case was Oladejo this past year, 241 snaps with a 48.2 PFF grade. At pick 84, Parrish played 747 snaps this past year with a 68.5 PFF grade at the cornerback position. Roman Wilson only played 5 snaps with a 56.7 grade. Achan played 323 snaps with a 92.1 PFF grade as a rookie. Leal played 175 snaps with a 46 PFF grade. And Golston played 422 snaps with a 57.4 PFF grade. Your average is a 334 snap player with a 64.1 PFF grade. That's a rotational player who can help you out, okay? The best case was Achan, 323 snaps with a 92.1 grade. You would certainly take something like that. And the worst case was either Wilson with 5 snaps, you know, barely playing, or Leal with 175 snaps with a 46.0 PFF grade. And then last but not least, pick 120. Gunnar Helm this past year played 532 snaps with a 66.5 PFF grade. Jalen Wright had 171 snaps with a 65.3 PFF grade. Warren played 401 snaps with a 46.9 grade. Smith played 52 snaps with a 28.3 grade. And Ramondre Stevenson played 286 snaps with an 80.7 PFF grade as a rookie. Your average at pick 120 over the last 5 years as a rookie, 288 snaps, a 57.5 grade. So rotational, slightly below average player. The best case was 286 snaps with an 80.7 grade, which was Ramondre Stevenson. Worst case was Smith with 52 snaps with a 28.3 PFF grade. So that's just the last 5 years of what you've sort of seen at those three picks. We'll be right back. I should just mention one thing really quick. I know, and maybe some of you are thinking this, I know that they're not forced to take a corner, a defensive tackle, or an interior defensive lineman, a nose tackle, etc. They could take anything, all right? I also know that Goody could move around the draft board. They're not stuck at pick 52. They're not stuck at pick 120. They're not stuck at pick 84. Although I will say it's probably, with the draft capital that they have, more likely to move down than it is to move up. Not impossible. If for the right player, I'm sure Goody would do it, but more likely that they stay or that they move down. So the larger overarching thing here that I want to address is, if Green Bay goes into this draft needing a defensive tackle or interior defensive tackles or interior defensive linemen or nose tackles or corners, like if that's what they truly need, again, that's what we're looking at today, is can they expect to get something out of those spots? Well, what about the second, third, and fourth round picks in the Brian Gutekunst era? What has Goody accomplished in those rounds? Well, in the second round, Goody has taken Anthony Belton, Javon Bullard, Edgerrin Cooper, Luke Musgrave, Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, Josh Myers, AJ Dillon, Elton Jenkins, and Josh Jackson. That's mostly reassuring. Javon Bullard, Edgerrin Cooper, Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, Elton Jenkins. There's some really, really talented players in there. However, there are only 4 players that were taken pick 52 or later in the Brian Gutekunst era in the second round. Anthony Belton, Javon Bullard, Josh Myers, and AJ Dillon. Those are the 4 that were taken pick 52 or later. Of those 4, Anthony Belton, 558 snaps, a 48.2 grade, PFF grade in his rookie year. Bullard, 816 snaps with a 54.2 grade. Josh Myers, 349 snaps with a 54.9 grade. And AJ Dillon, 122 snaps with a 78.3 grade. So the average Brian Gutekunst second round pick post pick 52 was a 461 snap player with a 58.9 grade. So rotational player, slightly below average. His best was probably AJ Dillon, 122 snaps with 78.3 grade. At least is how they played as a rookie. I'm not saying Bullard's, you know, worse than Dillon, just as a rookie. And the worst case was probably Anthony Belton this past year, who played 558 snaps with a 48.2 PFF grade. In the third round, Goody has taken Savion Williams, Marshawn Lloyd, Tyron Hopper, Tucker Kraft, Sean Ryan, Amari Rodgers, Josiah DeGuara, Jay Sternberger, and Oren Burks. Of those 9, 2 of them were taken prior to pick 84 when they're selecting. Those 2, Tucker Kraft and Jay Sternberger. Everybody else was taken after. So of those players that were taken, pick 84 after, Savion Williams played 91 snaps with a 60.2 grade. Marshawn Lloyd, only 10 snaps with a 53.3 grade. Tyron Hopper, only 18 snaps with a 60.7 grade. Sean Ryan did not play his rookie year. Amari Rodgers played 103 snaps with a 60.6 grade. Josiah DeGuara only played 31 snaps with a 56.6 grade. And Oren Burks played only 126 snaps with a 44.2 grade. So third round picks, either pick 84 or later for Brian Gutekunst. His best one as a rookie, believe it or not, from a PFF grading standpoint, was actually Amari Rodgers with 103 snaps with a 60.6 grade. That was his best one. His worst was probably Oren Burks with 126 snaps with a 44.2 grade as a rookie. The average for his third round picks, picking pick 84 or later, was only 54 snaps with a 55.9 grade. So barely playing and below average play when they did play. So it's not great. If you're hoping for an impact player from Brian Gutekunst in the third round post pick 84, it hasn't gone great. Now, that doesn't mean that Sean Ryan hasn't turned out to be a starting player. He has. Doesn't mean that Marshawn Lloyd or Savion Williams or Tyron Hopper couldn't go on still to have good careers. Your thoughts may differ on if that's actually going to happen or not, but doesn't mean it's a guarantee that they're not going to go on to have successful careers. But as of right now, those third round picks post pick 84 have not exactly worked out the best for Brian Gutekunst. How about the fourth round? In the fourth round, Goody has taken Baron Sorrell, Evan Williams, Colby Wooden, Romeo Doubs, Zach Tom, Royce Newman, and Jamon Moore. Holy mixed bag. Romeo Doubs, Zach Tom, Evan Williams, amazing. Royce Newman, Jamon Moore, not great. Colby Wooden and Baron Sorrell. Wooden had up and down and now got traded for Zaire Franklin. Baron Sorrell, TBD, right? Complete crapshoot as to what you're going to get in the fourth round. But two of those players were taken before Green Bay will be selecting, which again is pick 120. So Evan Williams and Colby Wooden were taken before that. Baron Sorrell, Romeo Doubs, Zach Tom, Royce Newman, and Jamon Moore were taken 120 or later. Of those five, as rookies, Baron Sorrell played 206 snaps with a 55.4 grade. Romeo Doubs played 529 snaps with a 62.6 grade. That's really good. Zach Tom played 489 snaps with a 68.3 grade. That's really good. Royce Newman played 1,084 snaps as a rookie. Actually, a not terrible 55.7 grade. That was by far his best season of his career. He went just downhill from there. Jamon Moore played only 75 snaps with a 53.5 grade. Your average fourth round Brian Gutekunst pick post pick 120 was 477 snaps with a 59.1 grade. So rotational player, basically an average-ish player. Again, PFF's average grade is 60. The best case scenario was Zach Tom, 489 snaps with a 68.3 grade. And the worst case scenario was Jamon Moore, 75 snaps in a 53.5 grade. That's the expectations for a Brian Gutekunst second, third, or fourth pick. Your best case scenario at that spot or later. Your best case scenario is probably what? AJ Dillon in the second round. In the third round, your best was Amari Rodgers in his rookie year. And the fourth round, it was Zach Tom. And the worst case is obviously way worse than that. So if you're looking for impact player, second, third, or fourth round, at those picks that they have or later, it has not really happened for Brian Gutekunst in his career so far. Just hasn't happened. All right. Let's take a look at the corners and defensive tackles that have been taken in the second, third, or fourth round by Green Bay since the year 2000. Some of this is going to be really depressing. I apologize in advance. The corners taken in round two by your Green Bay Packers since year 2000. So the last 25 years of drafts, a quarter of a century, second round picks were Josh Jackson, Kevin King, Quentin Rollins, Casey Hayward, and Pat Lee. Whew. Third round picks, Joey Thomas and Bauju. Fourth round picks, Devon House and Will Blackman. The only real hit here by Green Bay at corner in rounds two, three, or four in the last quarter century was Casey Hayward at pick 62, and they let him go too early, and the best of his career was basically with the Chargers. That is extremely depressing. Now, Devon House had a solid, you know, cup of coffee with Green Bay, left, got a big contract, came back to Green Bay. Will Blackmon was a good punt returner. But outside of that, they got almost no return on investment outside of a few years from Casey Hayward and a couple of years of solid play from Devon House. Here's taking it one step further. Of the second, third, or fourth round picks, again, picking where Green Bay was, pick 52 or later, pick 84 or later, pick 120 or later. The corners in the second round were Quentin Rollins, Casey Hayward, and Pat Lee. They have not taken a corner in the third round post pick 84. And then in the fourth round, the only one post pick 120 was Devon House. So of those four, Rollins, Hayward, Lee, and House, Rollins as a rookie, actually a really solid rookie year, which is why they actually released, part of the reason they released let Casey Hayward walk is because Rollins was really showing some potential as a rookie. 355 snaps with a 79.1 PFF grade. Casey Hayward, 748 snaps as a rookie with a 91.5 grade. I still can't believe they moved on from Casey Hayward. What a ridiculous move. Pat Lee played only 26 snaps as a rookie with a 56.4 grade, and Devon House played zero snaps as a rookie. The average was 282 snaps for a 75.7 grade, largely due to Rollins and Hayward here doing the heavy lifting. The best was, of course, Casey Hayward at 748 snaps with a 91.5 grade. The worst was Devon House not playing any snaps whatsoever. So overall, though, Green Bay, over a quarter century, taking a player in the second, third, or fourth round. Josh Jackson didn't make the impact as a rookie, nor did Kevin King. Rollins, I guess, did a little bit if you're just counting his rookie year and then his career imploded after that. Casey Hayward was extremely good as a rookie. Pat Lee did nothing. Joey Thomas did nothing. Baudu did nothing. Devon House did literally nothing. Will Blackmon did nothing. So they are 1-for-9 basically in that group of corners over the last quarter century. Something to think about when potentially taking a corner in rounds 2 through 4 this year. At defensive tackle, I would love to tell you it gets better. It actually gets worse. In the second round, in the last quarter century at defensive tackle, interior defensive line, only one player, Jarrell Worthy, was the only one at the interior defensive line that they took in the second round. In the third round, a just complete mixture of complete crap. Montrevious Adams, Kyree Thornton, Donnell Washington, Kenny Peterson, Steve Warren. Holy hell. Five complete and utter bust. Montrevious Adams at least went on to have a pretty nice career post Green Bay, like a solid rotational defensive tackle career. But this was bust city every single time. Adams, Thornton, Washington, Peterson, and Steve Warren. It has been a nightmare at defensive tackle in the third round for Green Bay. In the fourth round, a little bit of success. Colby Wooden at pick 116. And then thankfully, the one saving grace, Mike Daniels at pick 132. However, Mike Daniels, as a rookie, played only 272 snaps with a 54.0 grade. The only two other players that were taken at the spot where Green Bay is taken or later were Kyree Thornton and Montrevious Adams. Thornton played zero snaps as a rookie. Adams played 65 snaps with a 47.2 grade. So where Green Bay is selecting, if you are taking a defensive tackle over the last quarter century, the average that you're going to get as a rookie, 112 snaps with a 50.6 grade. Best case being Mike Daniels at 272 snaps with a 54.0 grade. Worst case being Kyree Thornton with zero snaps, who did not play at all. We'll be right back. So that's where you're looking at corner and interior defensive line for the Packers. Rounds 2, 3, and 4, Casey Hayward, Mike Daniels, little bit of Devon House, little bit of Colby Wooden. That's all you have. It's not been great. If you're hoping for, I guess they're due, maybe they're due at those positions, but it has not been great. All right, let's take a look at the last sort of category here. And then what I wanted to look at is over the last 5 years, who are the corners and defensive tackles that were taken around the picks that Green Bay is selecting? So pick 52 at corner in the 2025 NFL draft. Benjamin Morrison went pick 53. Benjamin Morrison went at corner at pick 53. Shamar Turner at defensive tackle went pick 62. And Omar Norman Lott went pick 63. Those were the corners and defensive tackles that went in the second round post pick 52. Again, Benjamin Morrison at 53, Shamar Turner at 62, Omar Norman Lott at pick 63. In the third round, Jacob Parrish at pick 84, Noel Williams at pick 85, Jamari Caldwell at pick 86, and Jalen Smith at pick 97. Second round was not great, I'll tell you in advance. Jalen Smith was not great. Jacob Parrish played well at corner. Noel Williams played well at corner. Jamari Caldwell played really well at defensive tackle. So a little bit of hope there in the third round last year. In the fourth round, Quincy Riley went pick 131. Tonka Hemingway went pick 135. Joshua Farmer went pick 137. All right. In the 2024 NFL draft, in the second round, defensive tackle Mike Hall went pick 54. And Drake Straw, the corner, went pick 61. Renardo Green, the corner, went pick 64. In the third round, Elijah Jones went pick 90. Dwayne Carter, the defensive tackle, went pick 95. McKinley Jackson, the defensive tackle, went pick 97. And in the fourth round, TJ Tampa at corner picked 130th overall. In the 2023 draft, Gervon Dexter went pick 53, defensive tackle. Tyreek Stevenson, the corner, went pick 56. DJ Turner, the corner, went pick 60. In the third round, Kobe Turner, the defensive tackle, went pick 89. Broderick Martin, the defensive tackle, went pick 96. Siaki Ika at pick 98, defensive tackle. And Mekhi Blackman, the corner, went pick 102. That was all third round in the 2023 draft. Fourth round of the 2023 draft, Cameron Young, the defensive tackle, went pick 123 overall. In the 2022 NFL draft, in the second round, Cam Taylor-Britt went pick 60. In the third round, Marcus Jones, good corner, went pick 85. Zachary Carter, the defensive lineman, went pick 95. In the fourth round, Jack Jones went pick 121. Neil Farrell Jr., the defensive tackle, went 126. Damarian Williams, the corner, went 141. And Kobe Durant, the corner, went pick 142. And then last but not least, the 2021 NFL draft. There were no defensive tackles or corners taken in the second round post pick 52. In the third round post pick 84, Nashawn Wright, the corner, Ambry Thomas, the corner, and Brandon Stevens, the corner, all went. And in the fourth round, Tyler Shelvin at pick 122, the defensive tackle, Zeke McPherson, the corner at pick 123, former Packer Robert Rochelle at pick 130, Tommy Tagai at pick 132, Marco Wilson at 136, and Trey Brown at 137. Not a ton of really talented players. Kobe Turner for the Rams at pick 89 was a really great pick there. He's more of a three technique defensive tackle. As mentioned this past year, Jacob Parrish, Noel Williams, and Jamari Caldwell all played well right around that third round pick. Renardo Green has been okay for the 49ers at pick 64 in 2024. Tyreek Stevenson's been okay for the Bears. DJ Turner okay for the Bengals at corner. But not a ton. Not a ton. Marcus Jones, the corner for the Patriots and pick 85. Great punt returner as well. It hasn't gone great overall for those picks. Your average second round corner post pick 52 over the last 5 years, 588 snaps, a 55.9 PFF grade. The best one being Renardo Green, who went or who played 675 snaps with the 69.2 grade. The worst being Ennis Rakestraw, who only played 46 snaps with a 42.8 grade. If you're taking a second round defensive tackle, four of them taken in the last 5 years, the average was 203 snaps only with a 51.8 PFF grade. The best being 232 snaps by Mike Hall with a 67.7 grade. By the way, the following year, he did not play anywhere near as well. And the worst being, Turner for the Bears, Shamar Turner, with 74 snaps and a 34.4 PFF grade. Third round corners, 9 corners taken in the third round post pick 84 in the last 5 years. The average was 373 snaps with a 63.0 PFF grade. That's actually pretty solid with some good players. Parrish, Noel Williams, like we talked about. Blackman actually had a pretty good rookie year. Marcus Jones had a good rookie year. So there's actually some decent players on that list. Best case scenario being Noel Williams, who played 458 snaps this past year with a 74.5 grade. And the worst being Nashawn Wright, who as a rookie played only 92 snaps with a 45.7 grade, or Elijah Jones, who did not play any snaps whatsoever. Third round defensive tackles, 7 were taken in the last 5 years. The average grade, 51.6 PFF grade with 344 snaps. Not super great there. Best case scenario, being Turner for the Rams, who played 729 snaps with an 83.2 grade as a rookie. Worst case scenario being Carter, who had Zach Carter, 461 snaps with only a 35.1 PFF grade. Fourth round corners, there were 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 corners taken in the fourth round post pick 124. Your average was 335 snaps with a 59.6 PFF grade. Best case scenario was Jack Jones, who played 434 snaps with a 74.7 grade. And worst case scenario was TJ Tampa, who only played 18 snaps with a 47.4 grade. Fourth round defensive tackle, 6 defensive tackles have gone in the fourth round in the last 5 years. The average was only 163 snaps with a 41.5 grade. Best case scenario being Young, who played 201 snaps with a 58.8 grade. And worst case scenario being Shelvin, who played only 75 snaps with a 28.1 grade. This is an overall, overarching, long way of saying every once in a while, you'll get some good players at these picks. At pick 52, just in general, JOK, George Pickens, Zach Charbonnet, Adonai Mitchell, not bad players, right? You got some pretty good players at that spot. Pick 84, Jacob Parrish was good this past year. Devon Achane has been really good at that spot. Pick 120, Ramondre Stevenson was really good at that spot. In the second round, Javon Bullard, not a great rookie year, but certainly has been good for Brian Gutekunst, that was taken at that spot or later. AJ Dillon had a pretty solid rookie year. In the third round, you know, Sean Ryan's gone on to have a good career, but they haven't really had a hit as a rookie in the third round for Brian Gutekunst post pick 84. And in the fourth round, Zach Tom. You got a Zach Tom, you got a Romeo Doubs eventually as well. But Zach Tom, great pick there and even played pretty well his rookie year. But you've had a lot of misses in there too. If you're looking at corners and defensive tackles who have been taken by Green Bay in the last quarter century in the second, third, or fourth round, you better hit on the 1 out of 9 that was Casey Hayward or the 1 out of 8 that was Mike Daniels. All the other ones have gone on to be pretty big busts. In the second round at corner, Renardo Green had a pretty solid year, his rookie year, but it wasn't anything spectacular. And a lot of the rest did not play well their rookie year. In the second round at defensive tackle, pretty much no success story. Mike Hall Jr., the best, at a 67.7 grade on only 232 snaps. And again, the year after, that fell apart for him. In the third round, there have been some good corners. Again, Noel Williams, Jacob Parrish, Marcus Jones. There have been some solid corners there. Brandon Stevens, but the average rookie, only 373 snaps there with a 63.0 grade. Third round at defensive tackle, you could get Turner, Kobe Turner for the Rams. Jamari Caldwell this past year played some really good snaps as a nose tackle as well, but the average is only a 51.6 grade on 344 snaps. Fourth round corner, not much to write home about. Jack Jones, pretty solid rookie year, 74.7 grade on 434 snaps, but the average is only 335 on a 59.6 grade. And fourth round defensive tackle has basically been a nightmare. So if the hope is that in the second, third, or fourth round that you're just going to find these plug-and-play corners or interior defensive linemen or nose tackles, it's not very likely. It's not very likely. Hopefully Green Bay can find the next great version of Casey Hayward and actually stick to him this time or hang on to him this time. Hopefully they can find their next Mike Daniels in the fourth round. There's certainly areas of opportunity. Just because it hasn't worked in the past doesn't necessarily mean it's not going to work in the future. But the results have shown, no matter which way you want to look at it, is that this is a pretty big crapshoot to take those two positions early in the second, third, or fourth round where Green Bay is drafting, and you should not expect an immediate impact. If you get it, great. If you get that next Casey Hayward, great. But you should not expect it. It has not gone that way, especially in their rookie years, far, far more often than not. That brings me to the final conclusion. If I were Green Bay, I would not rest. Even if you got a second round defensive tackle, third round defensive tackle, fourth round defensive tackle, second round corner, third round corner, fourth round corner, even if you grabbed, you know, three of those players were corners or defensive linemen, I would not feel like the problem is solved. I would not go into the season feeling like, all right, job done. We got our guys. Competition, great. And maybe you do find the next guy, but more often than not, that has not been the case. And Green Bay would be very wise take a look at corner and especially interior defensive linemen and to see if they can find a way to upgrade it either via free agency or trade ahead of, during, after the draft, before the start of the season. There's still time to upgrade. but I would be looking that route regardless of what happens during the draft. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you guys a ton. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wayne, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winklestinkle, the Gable Storm Pack Attack cast, Chris Weiss, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Steve Bates, John Mark Liddell, Nemo, Donald Decker, Damon Hartley, Zilch Zillardson, Large Charles, Jake Kohner, Will Glass, and Imperium Collectibles. Reminder, happy hour coming up 3 p.m. Central Time today. I will see you guys there. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.